Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Man on the Mic podcast, hosted by Jeffrey Mann. This podcast is dedicated to honest discussions that inspire, connect, and bring out the best in our guests. Now let's get started with the show. Here's your host, Jeffrey Mann.
Welcome back to another episode of Man on the Mic. I am joined today by business coach, entrepreneur, Keaton Hoskins, a.k.a. The Muscle. I'm super excited to have you on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me, man.
I'd love you just to take a minute and tell people a little bit about yourself.
I am a father of five. I had a TV show. I've started over 40 businesses. And now in my life, I still own businesses. I still own a few companies. But I spend most of my time mentoring people on a lifestyle that's becoming the greatest version of yourself, which allots you to build businesses, to build finances, to become successful all across the board. And that's kind of what I put most of my time and energy into right now is Limitless Society.
I love that. Your journey to mentoring people, what got you to want to mentor and work with people?
You know, in my faith, there's a scripture that I really, really love, and it says, "How great should be your joy if you should bring one soul unto God." And then it goes on to say, "How great should be your joy if you should bring many souls unto God." And I love the scripture. You know, I'm a firm believer in God, and I love the idea, but I also think that it applies to everything in life that brings happiness.
Yeah.
And so about 2 years ago, I was contemplating building my next business and my next venture, and I sat down with my wife, and I said, you know, I think I want to do something more. I want to do something more purposeful. And she said, well, maybe you should help people. And I didn't really think much of it. And then the next day, I got online haphazardly. I got on my social media, and I was like, you know what I want to do? I want to help 10 people become a millionaire this year. I didn't think anything else of it. I put the post up, and I had thousands and thousands and thousands of people say, I'm interested. I want help. How do you do it? And I thought, holy shit, like, this is a real thing. People really need help.
Yeah.
So that night, I came back with my wife. We were sitting on the couch, and I was like, I think my next step is to build a coaching program, a real coaching program that's not just cool mindset stuff, although that's important. I want to be able to build people into the greatest versions of themselves, and I want them to sustainably be successful, which most of the time means being an entrepreneur,
yeah,
which I have experience in. And so my wife was like, well, let's do it, you know? And I remember sitting on the couch with her, and I'm like, I don't even know what I'm going to call it. And she's like, well, what do you believe? And I literally at that moment, I said, you know what? I genuinely believe that everybody is limitless. I genuinely believe that God is our Father and that we are His children and that we're heir to Him. And if we're heir to a God, then what limits do we have?
Yeah.
So she said, well, I love Limitless. And then, you know, through a little bit of preparation, we came up with Limitless Society. I launched my coaching group, and overnight we had hundreds and hundreds of people join. And I started doing these calls, and I started watching people's lives change. And then really quickly, within about 6 to 8 months, I was like, you know what? I want to dive deeper into this. I kind of got rid of some businesses. I sold some businesses. And I said, I want to put more time and energy into this, and I want to start one-on-one mentoring with people. And that's when I fell in love with it, because I got to get on a level with somebody, find out who they are, what they focus on, what their weaknesses are, what their strengths are, and help them dissect that they are the bottleneck to all their success. And if you accept that you're the bottleneck, then you also accept that you're the solution, right? Yeah. So I started diving in with people, and I just made up a price. I thought it was a lot at the time, right? And I was like, this is what it costs to mentor with me. And I had probably 100 people come in to mentor with me. And I was like, holy shit. Like, yeah, there's a lot of people that need a lot of help. Mm-hmm. And then the best part was really quickly, the mindsets, the principles, the habits that I started teaching actually started changing people's lives. Like, I saw fathers become better fathers and husbands become better husbands. I saw businessmen make more money.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, this is it. This is what I want to do. And I'm going to do this until the day that I die.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I want to reverse engineer this. All of the people that you've mentored and worked with, that you've impacted their lives, I'm curious, in your coaching group, what are the lessons that your coaching group has taught you?
That's a great question. I have probably grown the most in my coaching group. I always say, if you want to learn, you should teach.
Yeah.
You know? And I would say there are some common principles that are common denominators for success, and probably most important is discipline. everybody is discipline away from whatever they seek. Whatever your goal is, it's just simple discipline away from that goal. For example, you and I go to the gym. We know that if we want to get our body fat down and our muscle up, we have to be disciplined to the amount of time we put in, the things we eat, the water that we drink, the sleep that we get. And the more disciplined we are, the more results we see.
Yeah.
And it's a physical result that we get to see, but it's the same thing pertaining to anything that I set out to do. It's just mere disciplined habits to the success that I want to have. So as I started teaching, I realized, like, Keaton, where are you undisciplined?
Yeah.
And where do you want to go? And you're only that discipline away, then I need to become more disciplined, which then led me to my greatest, I don't know if I would say it's an epiphany, but my greatest thought and what I teach and I spend the majority of time teaching. And that is a really simple phrase, and it's true perspective breeds discipline. And what I learn and what that really means is when you as a human being place yourself in true perspective, you become disciplined to do the things that you need to do. And if you don't believe me, spend time with someone who's dying. And watch what they say and how they interact and what they do and how they treat their children and their spouse and how they do everything throughout their day.
Yeah.
Watch what they do. They're very disciplined in what they say and the things that they do because they know that they only have so much time left. So they become, in true perspective, disciplined because they know there's only so much time left. And one of the most, like, powerful messages that I got through my coaching group as I coached people was Marcus Aurelius teaches a principle in some of his writings. He talks about a man or a woman should contemplate death on a regular basis. I genuinely believe the greatest teacher of all is death. That's what I think. The reason is because death gives us perspective, and that perspective gives us discipline. I think that's why Marcus Aurelius taught it, but I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
That's what I had been doing all along. When I was 21, my father ended up passing away. Actually, in my arms, he passed away. And from that day until today, I have never, ever allowed a day to go by without thinking about death, ever. My dad was 47 when he passed away. And for some reason, in my mind, I always said 47 was the number I was going to go at. And dude, I'm 37, 38. That's 10 years from now.
Yeah.
And because of that perspective, I have stayed disciplined to a lot of things I otherwise wouldn't have been because I would procrastinate and I wouldn't do or I wouldn't say what I'm supposed to. So again, to answer that question, for me, the contemplation of death is what puts me in the right perspective, and that right perspective allows me to be disciplined, and then I accomplish every single thing. I now don't put goals out anymore until I'm fully ready to accomplish them because I know that it's only going to be the discipline away. And then I got to ask the question, am I really ready to bite that off?
Yeah.
You know, It's like when you get ready to compete for a bodybuilding competition, you're like, do I really want to get on stage? I know what it's going to take to get there. Do I really want to bite that off? Uh-huh. Right. And then, you know, it's only discipline to get there.
Yeah.
It's nothing else. So it's the same thing for me. Now I'm very careful about what I put on my board, what I put on my goals. Cause I'm like, I already know to get there, I have to do that. Am I willing to do that?
Yeah.
And those are the things I've learned so much, but those are the most powerful messages I think that I've learned.
No, I love that. I'm curious if that concept also, aside from business, has allowed you to be more present with your family and your kids and be more active in their life.
100%. When I say discipline, I mean discipline across the board. To be a good father, you have to be disciplined in your being present. You have to be disciplined in what you say and what you do and how much you're there. In your marriage, for your marriage to be good, you got to be present. You have to be disciplined in what you say and what you do. Here's a great example. The other night, I had a really big day ahead of me where I was speaking and I was doing a podcast and I was teaching. And it was just a very big day. And my daughter came up at like 3 a.m. and she was crying. And my first thought is, I'm angry.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm you're keeping me up. Uh-huh. I'm not happy, right? In that moment, I sat there for a moment to gain perspective. And I literally sat there and I said, Keaton, how many more years are you going to have a 3-year-old that comes up and cries to you like, even if she doesn't die, or even if you don't die, how much more time do you get in this exact moment?
Yeah.
Right? And that perspective shift allowed me to be disciplined in the father I needed to be in that moment. Whereas instead of me saying, listen, get your ass and go back to bed,
yeah,
it was, I went from anger to smiling, and I was grateful in that moment that I get that moment. Because the truth is, when I'm 60, I'm going to be wishing that I had a three-year-old that came and crawled in bed with me and was crying to me, yeah, right? So across the board, everything that I do, I implement that in my family, in my marriage, in my friendships, in my business, in my fitness. It's all across the board that gaining that perspective gives me that discipline that allows me to accomplish whatever it is I want to accomplish. And one of those, again, is being present. I think that the greatest superpower a human being can have is to be present in the moment.
Yeah.
I could go to a networking event with 100 people, and I guarantee you I'll be one of 100 that's actually present right there.
Yeah.
Not thinking about the stresses of yesterday, not thinking about the successes of tomorrow, but literally like, dude, I've been given this moment right here, and I should be right here. And even this, like, this is a great example. I had 6 meetings before this. I got 8 meetings after this.
Yeah.
I have so many things, but how grateful I am for this moment with you on my couch where we get to have a conversation and be present right here.
Yeah.
When I got so many things, you got so many things to think about, so many things to worry about, to be present and give you my time and you my energy and for you to do the same, that's a superpower.
Yeah.
And that all comes from that perspective shift.
That's huge. I love one of the things you said, and actually it's a lesson I learned from you and the event at your house. It was networking an event, and one of the things you started off saying is, hey, this is not a place where you hand out business cards. This is not being transactional. Get to know each other.
Yeah.
And just form relationships.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when you're in business, your mind goes into, well, I need to sell people in the room and tell them what I'm doing and everything. And that night, I just sat back and I had conversations.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know what half the people did.
Yeah.
But I learned about their families and what they love to do and what made them passionate about life. And I think that's a huge lesson that you teach those in your coaching group, but almost all of your events, you talk about that, yeah, not being transactional.
You know what's so cool is when I have that conversation, I always teach that you should be valuable, right? The most valuable person always gets the most out of things, right? And that goes back to being non-transactional. I'm giving you something, I better get something in return.
Yeah.
Oh man, squash that. Just give and give and give. But here's the thing, a lot of people ask the question, well, how do I be valuable if I don't have any money?
Yeah.
Right? Well, I can share with you a million times that I've been valuable to very influential people. And a lot of times it has to do with money. So they ask the question, well, how do I be valuable in a networking event if I don't have any money? It's like, dude, you know what the most valuable thing is? It's to listen.
Yeah.
When people show up at an event, you know what they're doing? They're trying to tell you how important they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because the number one universal principle that every human being wants is they want to feel important.
Yeah.
That's why people do what they do in their lives. They do everything they do based around wanting to feel more important. So when they go to these networking events, they want to say how important they are.
Yeah.
Let me tell you who I am and what I do. Let me tell you how I can help you and do all this shit. That never goes anywhere. But dude, if you walk into an event and you go, you know what, man? I want to add value and I don't have very much value. The only value I have is to ask questions and listen. I guarantee you, you'll bring value to a group that there's no value because everybody's there to tell you rather than listen to you. And again, if you walk in there with no transaction in mind, just wanting to throw as much value on the table as possible, you'll get out of a networking event what you want. People leave and they go, dude, that guy was awesome. Yeah. I don't even know what he does. I didn't even ask him. He didn't even say anything about himself. He just listened to me.
Yeah.
He allowed me to tell him how important I was. Then he reverberated back to me all the shit that was important to me. He made me feel important because he just listened to me.
Yeah.
And that's where, again, it's that value piece. And everybody can do that.
Yeah.
Listening is a huge, valuable thing we don't do in our society.
Mm-hmm.
We just get there. We want to talk. We want to spit up. Here's my business card. Here's all my shit. Here's what I do. Oh, by the way, how can I help you? No, man. Let me bring value to you. Let me tell you about you.
Yeah.
Let me listen to you about you. And then that same person goes to do a business deal and they remember you.
Yeah.
And they go, I want to do business with that guy
because
he was so valuable to me.
Well, and this and that whole lesson that you taught, I was at an event in Florida. And I get into the elevator, and Tim Story's in the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
And I see him, and I'm just talking to him regularly. And some of the attendees got in the elevator with us, and the lady looks at him, and she's like, what do you do? And then, you know, he starts talking a little bit. Hey, I'm speaking at this event. And then when he goes to get off the elevator, she tries to hand him her business card.
Yeah.
And I was just, I'm like, this is the headline speaker tomorrow, and you're handing him your business card? So that same night, I show up to the nightclub and he walks in and he remembered my face.
Yeah.
And we just had a normal conversation.
Yeah.
And it was so powerful to see that in action, because if you try to push all the stuff and be so transactional, people don't want to connect with you.
Well, and here's the other thing too. The higher level and the higher caliber of people automatically expect for a transaction to happen.
Yeah.
Right? So when I go to an event, everybody wants to get a picture with me. They want to get an autograph. They want to give me their business. They want to do business with me. I don't really want to sit and talk to those people.
Yeah.
But if I sit down with someone who, number one, either doesn't know who I am or does, but just wants to have a valuable conversation with me, that's the person I want to mess with.
Yeah.
That's the person I think about when I leave. It's not the person trying to give me some type of transaction and say, hey man, I listened to your shit. Now we'll hear, will you take my business card? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the higher caliber people, that's how you create that relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, I have great relationships with the most influential people in the world, because all I want to do is spit up value to you, and I don't want to ask shit in return.
Yeah.
And I was just telling you before we got on this podcast, I'm going down to Jake Paul's fight. Jake actually invited me to come and be with his team. We went to Lake Powell. I took him to Lake Powell, took him in my helicopter, spent the whole night with him, spent the whole day with him. Everybody there wanted a picture, wanted a post about him, wanted to get an autograph, wanted to do all this shit. I didn't want shit from him, dude. I wanted nothing. I was like, dude, whatever you want to do. And by the way, I don't want anything from you. I know that's weird for you, because everybody, even your little posse, I know they all want something from you. I don't want shit from you, dude.
Yeah.
I literally sat and had a conversation with him. I said, because I know his dad really well. His dad's in Limitless. I said, dude, I got to tell you, you probably don't hear this a lot, but I'm really proud of you.
Yeah.
You're an incredible human being. I know you get a lot of hate, but I'm really proud of you, because the things that you've been able to do, you've been able to pave a new way for people, and I really think that's cool. Bro, he broke down in tears. He was a little bit hammered. He broke down in tears and was like, man, that really feels good. Like, everybody, he acknowledged it. He's like, everybody here wants something from me.
Yeah.
You don't want anything. And he said multiple times, like, dude, I want to do more stuff with you. I want to do more stuff. And that's when he's like, hey, dude, for the Tyson fight, I'd love for you to come and be with my team and do this stuff with me. And I was like, I'd love it. I could have met him, and like, I think you're a badass. Can I come to the fight? And what would that have done?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
But instead of adding value and asking for value in return, I just keep adding value and value and value and value over and over. I don't ever ask for anything in return, and it always ends up in my favor, because I'm not transactional. I don't want to be transactional. I want to be a non-transactional character in a world of transactional characters.
Yeah.
And it always serves. Same thing, his older brother, Logan, I'm very good friends with. We've had many interactions. He came and skydived out of my helicopter. We did a ton of stuff. I actually brought him to my house. I did stem cells with him and his dad one day. I never asked for anything. Mm-hmm. I never asked for a thing. And he ended up texting me after he left. I wasn't even home. He stayed at my house. I wasn't even home. I had my doctor come and take care of him. He texted me later and was like, hey, I hope you don't mind. I got your number from my dad. I just wanted to tell you thank you for what you did.
Yeah.
I said, absolutely, dude. I really want to create a relationship with you. I don't want anything from you, just to be really clear. And what was so cool is, a year later, which was last year, my daughter is a huge fan of Logan Paul, and she was here with all of her friends at the house. And I text him and I said, hey man, I know your time is valuable. What would you charge me to FaceTime my daughter on her birthday? And he's like, are you kidding me? And I said, no, what would you charge me? He's like, nothing.
Yeah.
So she was here with like 20 of her friends. I pulled him up on the screen, and he's like, hey Taya, I wanted to wish you happy birthday. Your dad's a stud. I hope your birthday's... Dude, it was a phenomenal, phenomenal experience. Now, did I get something out of it? You always do.
Yeah.
And if you go into relationships adding value after value after value, things just start happening for you. Rather than, you know what I could have done has been like, hey man, go to my house. By the way, my daughter turns, 12 in 6 months. Can you please call her? He would have been like, fuck no.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that shit. But because I never asked for anything in return, something always comes back. And now I'm able to create this relationship with somebody. And understanding this principle on every level, right? The higher caliber people, the more value you bring to them, the more they want to spend time with you.
Yeah.
And then you level up your circle. And that's a superpower in and of itself. You're the proximity of all the people you spend time with, right? You're the sum total of them. Well, then, dude, raise your level. How do you do that? You don't ask them to go spend time with them. You bring value to them.
Yeah.
And that ultimately changes the game for people.
Well, I think that, and also the lesson of, like when you throw an event, I'm sure millions of people are like, hey, can I get in for free? And I'm
all
like,
the time.
Investing in yourself, now you have skin in the game,
yeah.
is so more important than trying to get everything for free.
Absolutely. You know, actually on that, and this is a compliment to you. You know, you messaged me and said, you didn't ask to come to for free. You said, Keaton, if I bring people, would it be okay if I came? And I was like, absolutely, dude, because you're bringing value to me. You just as easily could have said, hey, Keaton, we're boys. Can I come for free? Because I had that conversation 150 times, right? You, out of a handful of people, were the only people that said, hey, man, I would love to come. If not, I'll pay. But if I bring some people, would it be okay if I came? And I'm like, absolutely. Yeah. That was exactly the shit that I'm talking about. Dude, I had 50 conversations with people asking me the exact same thing without bringing any value. And you know what I said? Nah, man, pay the $10,000 and show up.
Yeah.
But because you led first with value and then said, and if not, it's totally fine, I'll pay for my ticket. You weren't asking for shit for free with no value.
Yeah.
And that's why I was like, of course, dude, I'd love to have you come. Bring whoever and come on out, dude. Yeah. That's the purpose. And again, for those people that are listening to this who don't have money, that want to level up their circle, that want to bring any kind of value, you start adding value like crazy. Watch how your circle starts leveling up. And it doesn't matter who it is. And the higher you see somebody, the more value you should bring to them.
Yeah.
And then you start to see the success you want.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And when you show up, there's a way the universe, what you put into the world gives back.
Absolutely. And the more you put in without expectation, the more you get without expectation.
Yeah.
Which is a beautiful thing, by the way. Yeah. I like getting things without expectation.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Well, and I have a buddy, and you know, going to all these events and learning, I had a buddy who always had seen me at the gym, and he always tell me, I want to do a bodybuilding competition. But he would never get to the actual signing up to do it.
Yeah.
So one day we're at the gym and he says the same thing. And I'm like, this is like the 10th time we've had this conversation. Yeah. So I grab a bodybuilding coach who's at the gym at the time. And I said, look, this is your coach. I'm going to pay. I'm going to do everything for you. My only caveat is if you don't complete the show and go through with it, you have to refund me.
You have to pay me back.
And so that kid has gone at 4 a.m. every day in with the coach and everything. And it's been amazing for me to watch. And, you know, it was nothing to do with me, but I was like, you keep talking about this dream you want to do. If money is a barrier, I will step in and help you to achieve your dream, because that brings more joy to me than, you know, me going getting a nice steak dinner.
Yeah.
You know, you eat it, the steak's gone, it's over with.
Yeah.
And so that's the beautiful thing about when you attend different networking events and you listen to people speak, but you actually listen. You're not just in the room because you want to be there and be on a camera, but you're actually processing what people are telling you, what people 100%. Are saying. And when you do that, the way it impacts your life is insane.
And it's so much better than if you were to ask 15 different things and get 15 different things.
Yeah.
If you'll add 15 different things, you'll get 100 back. It's just, that's the way it works.
Yeah. No, I love that. I'm curious. I saw a post that you did that you went out to Disneyland. And you went with your ex-spouses and went with all of your girls and everything. And to me, that was so powerful to see, because I have several friends who've gone through divorce and everything. And they're, you know, they won't even talk. Yeah. And it's an ugly situation. And the kids are stuck in the middle. And so I'm curious of how you got to that point where you can create a trip and an experience like that.
So after I got divorced, I actually wrote a book on divorce, and it was just for therapy. It was for no other purpose. Like, I wasn't planning on selling any of them. But in the book, I wrote a chapter that was called How to Make Emotionless Decisions. It ended up becoming an Amazon bestseller, which was really dope. But in the chapter, it talks about there's two types of human beings. Most human beings are regulated by their emotions, and their emotions dictate their actions and their words. The second type of human being learns how to regulate their emotions, and they dictate their decisions based on facts. If you want to get anywhere in life, if you want to level up, if you want to build a relationship, if you want to keep a relationship, if you want to build co-parenting, you must learn how to regulate your emotions and dictate your choices by facts, not on how you feel. I told you before we started, I'm going to be speaking at the prison. I would dare bet 99% of the men at that prison that I'm going to go speak to are there for one reason and one reason only, because their emotions regulated their decision that put them there. So if I understand that principle, and I understand the principle that most people are that way, if I wish to become something greater, I should learn how to regulate my emotions so that I can dictate my actions and my words according to facts. Well, here's the facts. I love my ex-wife. We have two beautiful children together, and we will be tied together till the day we die, no matter what.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything good for my two children that we have together for her and I to be at wit's end. It does nothing good. What does do good is to show my daughters how a man should interact with a woman even if he wants nothing from her, which, of course, I don't need or want anything from my ex-wife.
Yeah.
So understanding that principle, I understand that the better relationship I have with her, the healthier I get to have as an influence on my children, right? So to create that situation, I had to learn how to pull my emotions, regulate them, and dictate my choices and my actions according to what are facts. Well, what are the facts? The facts are that divorce happened and you didn't work out. The facts are that your children will be better off if you can learn to have a good relationship, a good co-parenting relationship, and love and respect each other as you raise your children that you both love.
Yeah.
And when I understood that principle early on in my life, I sought to fix that relationship as soon as I could so that I could provide and cultivate that relationship that we now have. And what's so dope, My wife's ex-husband, really great guy. My ex-wife, wonderful woman. They don't have the type of finances that I do. They would never be able to provide that memory and that experience to their children. They just wouldn't.
Yeah.
But I can. And how awesome it is that I get to cultivate an environment where I can take everybody out of love and respect for our children to go have such a beautiful memory at Disneyland, which we did. And it was a phenomenal experience where we all got along. We all, out of respect for each other, had a beautiful time. Our children had a wonderful memory. And my children aren't at this weird place in their life where they have trauma because their parents got divorced and they hate each other. Yeah. And they can't do anything together. Literally, after this podcast, I'm going to be leaving and going and watching my daughter cheer at her junior high with my ex-wife, because together we support her because we both love her. If I can't learn to regulate my emotions, that event never happens.
Yeah.
And then we got to sit on both ends. Uh-huh. And then my daughter has to decide who she wants to sit with and how she's going to act and how she's going to interact with both of us. And it creates a horrible issue and problem in my children. So again, through emotional regulation, I learned, well, what are the facts? The facts are the best situation is that I can go sit with my wife and we can enjoy each other, and I can sit with my ex-wife and we can enjoy each other while we support and love our children. And that's the best situation that it could possibly be. And it's been a huge game changer for us.
That's amazing. I think that's a big lesson that a lot of people could learn.
I agree.
I think, you know, I don't know if it's Utah specifically, but I feel like there's a ton of divorce happening in Utah.
Yeah, it's everywhere. And it's definitely everywhere.
And that's something I think a lot of people can take away when they are co-parenting.
Yeah. And dude, I'll tell you, the most powerful human being is the one that can step away from any type of argument or failed marriage or relationship and go, I know I played a role. I know they played a role, but I have no control over the role that they played. I only have control over myself. What can I do to rectify and build back this relationship ultimately so that things can move like smoothly and actually happen the way they're supposed to happen? And it's all self-reflection. I had to step back and go, we didn't work. You didn't work, I didn't work, but I'm going to take full responsibility and ownership of what I didn't do, and I'm going to fix that, and I'm going to become better. The better version of me has a wonderful relationship with you, and together we have a wonderful relationship with our children, and that's a really powerful thing.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. I'm curious. A lot of people know you for your presence on social media, the TV show you were on, the amazing events that you throw. No one knows when it's checkout time and when God calls us back. So I'm curious for you is, what is one thing that you would want people to remember you for?
One thing I hope that I'm remembered for is that I was able to inspire people to see themselves as God sees them. I hope, and I will work until the day I die, of helping people see their true potential and see who they really are and help them open up their eyes to what is actually possible. I don't care if people remember me as successful or famous or whatever else they remember me for. I would like to be remembered. I hope at some point when that casket closes and whoever's there is there says, that human being changed my life as for how I see myself. Because how I see myself now is so much greater than before I met him. And that's what I'm shooting for, longing for, planning for, goaling for. Everything is based around helping people to open up their eyes to see who they really are, inspire them, motivate them, educate them to become a greater version of themselves. And again, I don't know how long I have. I might be done after this week. I might be done in 10 years. I don't know how long it is. I know it's a lot less than I think. Yeah. And that's why I do what I do at such intensity that I do it. But I hope that I inspire people to open up to see who they really are.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
If people are want to learn more about Limitless Society and your coaching, your mentoring, how do they get connected with you?
Best way to connect with me personally is I answer every one of my DMs on Instagram. It's the period muscle on Instagram. And then if they want to join Limitless and learn some of the stuff that I've taught even today, it's limitlesssociety.com. It's really cool. We have a call every single day. We go over this kind of stuff every single day. The truth is that you're really just mindset, skill set, and habits away from being successful. So if you can plug yourself into a system that continually teaches you that and shows you that, you'll be successful. And that's what Limitless Society is. So for those people who are listening and anything that we talked about today they like or they want to connect with, get your ass in Limitless Society because this is what we teach. This is what the whole thing is.
Awesome. Perfect. Well, thank you, brother.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your time and just being present.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in to Man on the Mic. We appreciate you spending your time with us today. Remember, our podcast is available on all platforms so you can listen anytime, anywhere. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated. New episodes drop every week. Until next time, keep the conversation going. And as always, stay true to yourself. Thanks for watching.